I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is Monday Night Raw. The bus is taking over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
You're scared. I mean, I would be too. You're looking at the baddest diva in the WWE. You're going to find out why I am the boss.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Do you see this? This is the Kevin Owens Show!
While this show may have been the Kevin Owens show for the last 6 months, tonight was Monday Night Rollins. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented, as always, by Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am, of course, Sorokin, joined, as always, by Lindsay Ward.
I'm so happy that little weasel is back. I have missed him.
And he was back in full effect tonight. And the question in the chat room goes, who do we blame for breakups? Is it hashtag blame Lindsay?
Yeah, I'll be blamed for the breakups. I will take that responsibility on. Hashtag blame Lindsay. I got two tonight!
Yes, she had two tonight. That she indeed did. So, as mentioned, Seth Rollins opened up Monday Night Raw, and he was all giddy, he was all excited, he was the big old babyface as the fans cheered, the one, the only Seth Rollins. He came to the ring, he asked, did you miss me? And the answer is, yes, we did.
Yes, Seth, we missed you a lot.
He's waited 7 months to get to this point, to get back.
We waited 7 months for him to be back.
To get back the title he never lost in Extreme Rules. He fired the first shot. Then we get a look at the pedigree to Roman Reigns, which we'll talk about on Thursday on the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Shameless plug out of the way. Seth says he feels like the people missed him. And, well, it's not always been that way that, you know, they cheer him. You know, when he put a steel chair in the back of Roman Reigns to break up the Shield. You booed him every time you saw him. We did. We really did. You were calling for his head every night. When he won the WWE Championship, he said you called him the weakest champion of all time. You were begging people to beat him for the title, but no one could. You said, I hid behind the authority. You went against everything he earned during his reign. Then his knee buckled underneath him from the weight of carrying this company on his back for so freaking long. Then he started getting tweets and comments from people saying they missed him. He got flowers and cards and letters. He didn't know what to do with it, and he didn't open a single damn one of them. He put him in the garbage can, and he lit him on fire, because he doesn't need you. He doesn't need any of us on his side. He didn't need it to win the title or defend it. He says he doesn't need us to get it back. Seth says there's only room on the Seth Rollins bandwagon for one dude, and one dude only, and that's him. You weren't with him when he was rehabbing twice a day to get back his title. He says that there is more work he has to be done in the last 7 months than you could have in your collective lives. Boo him or cheer him, he's back for one thing. The title he never lost. He redesigned Seth Rollins, and he will take back his WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Before we continue, that was great.
This was fantastic. Go, Seth, go. It's something of we've been saying it for months, that when Seth comes back, he'll come probably come back as a heel because he will have been missed. He will have been gone for an extended length of time. And that's generally how they do things, is they bring people back as...
babyfaces, not heels.
Babyfaces, not heels. So the fact that they brought Seth Rollins back as a heel, and they're picking basically right up where they left off in terms of his character, I think is wonderful. Because Seth Rollins, as a heel, is just... amazing. I mean, there's no other way to really describe him as such. It's just kind of one of those things where you sit there and you watch him. And I said this to Rock, and I've said this a couple other times, that you don't realize what Seth Rollins adds to the show until he's not there to add it.
Yeah.
He is that cocky, smarmy jerk of a guy, and that's being PG about it, who you just want to punch in the face, but you just love the crap out of him because he's so good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So this promo, the fact that he completely heals the crowd, he basically tells everybody to F off, was fantastic.
Then out came Roman Reigns, and Rollins is, all right, we're ready to go, we're gonna fight. And then he bails, and he walks away, starts to leave, and out comes Shane O'Mac to a huge ovation from the capacity crowd. He said, there's animosity between the two of you. And it started when you turned your back on the Shield, then you sent, that was your first shot. Then at WrestleMania 31, you interject yourself into the main event to become WWE World Heavyweight Champion, a title you held until your injury. He says he knows that Seth wants the title back since he didn't lose it. And this match is a WrestleMania main event written all over it. It is what it is. But we're not going to wait till WrestleMania. Oh no, we're going to do it at Money in the Bank. It's Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And I should mention one thing. He invited Seth to get back in the ring so they can have an adult conversation.
There has to be three adults there, just pointing that out. And as we all know, there's not...
there isn't three of them.
Isn't three of them.
Rollins is not an adult.
No. I question Shane. I do question Shane as well. I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah, so while we're here, we might as well mention, speaking of adults, Seth Rollins was backstage. He was talking about wanting the title and everything like that with Renee Young. And then he sees Stephanie. And he's trying to go, I want a hug from Stephanie. And she's like, no, we don't have that relationship anymore. Things have changed since you were gone. And he had this sad, sad look on his face. She just gives him a handshake. He was so sad.
He got shot down by his own mom. He's so upset by that. Like, he just stood there. And he was like, but mom... I'm home. All I want is a hug. And he just pouted.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so excited. It's his big night. He's back. He's got a World Heavyweight title match. He's super excited. Hey, look, there's Stephanie. And she's like, nope.
Nope, not going to have it. Not going to have any of it.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. So tonight was about Money in the Bank qualifying matches. The first one was Sami Zayn and Sheamus. Before the match, Sheamus was talking to Renee Young. He said he wants to put... know what type of error puts him in a qualifying match against a guy named Sami Zayn? Seeing him skip to the ring with a stupid hat on his head, and then the internet then found Sheamus with the same hat on his head.
Well played, internet.
He says that Sami is Canadian, not even from this country. Sheamus tells parents with little children to take him out of the room because what he's about to do is not for all ages. So it's Sheamus versus Sami Zayn in the Battle of Gingers. And in this battle, Sami Zayn, with one hell of a haluva kick out of nowhere, heads to Money in the Bank.
I don't think this is a huge surprise that Sammy's going into Money in the Bank. I think it's actually preferred over Sheamus. No offense to Sheamus, but he was in it last year. He won last year. I don't think anybody wants him back in it again. So we're getting fresh blood in the Money in the Bank. Plus, it's Sami Zayn in a ladder match. I mean, good lord.
Right. So
and with the way the rest of the match stacked up, why not? We did get the very... classic kind of Sheamus meltdown afterwards, which was really well done, where Sheamus really couldn't believe that he had gotten beaten.
Yeah, he was, his neck was bulging.
He had a moment in the middle of the ring, his hair was messed up.
It was.
And then he went backstage and he kicked Apollo Crews in the face.
Yeah, Apollo Crews was talking with Renee Young, and then Sheamus shows up and just beats the crap out of him.
Which I saw this amazing tweet that was basically like, you know, damn, Renee Young's just cold. She's the ultimate villain. She doesn't tell anybody when anyone's sneaking up on anyone.
It's all part of her plan.
It's all part of her evil plan.
So, the New Day come to the ring, and they have a cake. I was like, oh, they got me a cake. But no, they did not get it. It was for Monday Night Raw. Celebrate 1,200 episodes. So happy birthday, Raw. And Big E then stopped him and says, you know a ring is not a safe place for a cake. So Big E takes the cake out of the ring and then teases throwing it in the fan's face. You know, that little boy or JBL or even Byron Saxton. But while all that was happening, the social outcasts return. And they attack Woods and Kofi in the ring.
Well, I was just going to say, he was bringing you your birthday cake because it's Rock's birthday.
Yes, yes it is. Thank you.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
Let it go. We had a Bo Train. We got Bo Dallas back on Raw. That's the reason for celebration.
Happy birthday. He got Bo Dallas for his birthday.
Hey! So we had the New Day taking on the Social Outcast. That's amazing what happens when they release Adam Rose back on TV. The New Day picked up the win, and then they shoved the cake into the face of Heath Slater.
Slater was not happy. He was covered in cake.
There's a video on Facebook, on the WWE's Facebook page, that you all need to go see after the show. Social Outcast could be making a movie. That's all I'm saying.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
They're just like, oh, we're going to go find a movie. It's going to be like Entourage. You know, just go find a movie.
Yeah.
Because why not?
So we have The Miz and Cesaro in a Money in the Bank qualifying match. Good match between the two. They've had good matches in the past. This was no different. In the end, Cesaro hits the neutralizer after a European uppercut off the turnbuckles and the neutralizer for the three count. Cesaro is headed to Money in the Bank.
Hey, this is shaping up to be a nice little match.
You then had Chris Jericho versus Apollo Crews, who should have been selling the attack. But no, he wasn't. He did his all special entrance, comes to the ring. They had a solid match between the two. In the end, the Band-Aid Man, Chris Jericho, picks up the win and heads to Money in the Bank.
Yeah, Jericho was a little hurt. You could tell he was just a little banged up.
There was about, I don't know, 20 Band-Aids on his back and elbows and arms.
Yeah, it was not pretty. 68 thumbtacks in total, which we will be talking about Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack. Ding!
JoJo was with Baron Corbin, asked about his victory over Dolph Ziggler, talk about the low blow. JoJo asked, what about the how way he won? Baron Corbin says that people have issues with the way he won in a no DQ match. He did to Dolph Ziggler because he can. Ziggler shows up, he says, because I can is clever. Dolph says that Baron cannot be on breaking ground without looking like a tool. He can't beat him in a technical wrestling match. Baron says he's not growing up to wanting to be the best wrestler in the world. If you want another match, we can have it, and we can talk about technical wrestling when you wake up. Dolph says we can have a match next week, and you can watch his match against Dean Ambrose to see what a wrestling match is all about.
First of all, I thought we were done with this.
So did I.
Second of all, holy sweet baby Jesus on a pogo stick, Baron Corbin is huge, standing next to JoJo.
That's what she said.
Maybe that is what she said. She was almost at eye level with it, just saying. But yeah, well, you don't get an appreciation for how tall Baron Corbin is because it's like he's 6'8", but when you're putting him in the ring then with guys that are, you know, 6'2", 6'3".
You really can't tell an impressive size he is.
You really can't tell the impressive size he is because he's tall, but he's lanky. So he doesn't have that really impressive physique yet. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I think he looks fine the way he is. But it's just, you look at him and it's like, yeah, okay, he's tall, but he's kind of thin. And then you stand him next to JoJo. And you get really an appreciation for how tall Baron Corbin actually is versus how short JoJo is. She came up to his belly button, okay? Baron Corbin, big dude.
Speaking of big dude, it's Colin Cassidy. But he's not alone, because how you doing? Enzo Amore is back on Monday Night Raw.
Enzo was a little excited.
He was. He said most people are aware that he forgot to pay his electric bill, and they cut his lights out. The doctors diagnosed him with a concussion. He said it was a hard sneeze. He says he's blessed, and he's all the way up. He has the gift of gab and the gift of jab. If he had a dime for every time he got knocked down and didn't get up, he would have zero dimes. As for the haters, you've been out of line and not on the guest line. He tells them to do them a favor and not do them any favors. Colin says putting his size 16s on the side above his head is like a shooting star shooting a basketball into a swimming pool because he ain't gonna miss. There was a line where Enzo called the Dudley Boys Bubs and Devin the Duds. It's fantastic.
I love this so freaking much. Like, just so freaking much. It was amazing.
It was amazing. It really, really was.
Enzo was super excited. He had to tone it down about 3 times. He actually ran out, threw his mic off the stage, had to run and get his mic. They could not catch him on camera. That's how fast he was running around. But everybody was super pumped for Kaz, super pumped for Enzo. This was just, I love these two.
So we had Kaz beat Bubba Ray Dudley. Not bad.
It continues the feud.
It does. So Charlotte is making her way to the ring with Dana Brooke and the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Ric says, before you start tonight on this phenomenal interview you're going to have as a father, he wants to convey how proud he is since she won the WWE Women's Championship at WrestleMania, or, you know, retained at WrestleMania, not won it. As a child, every time you turn around, you had your hand in the candy jar. Everything she taught, she made it happen. When you have your back against the wall, you prevail like you did last night. You went to get someone like your uncle Arn in Dana Brooke. You are that damn good. Without Charlotte Flair, there is no Dana Brooke. Charlotte says she wants to thank one person, herself. She says she could not be more proud of Dana since she chose to be with the best. Dana thanks Charlotte for letting her stand in the ring with the dirtiest player in the game. The fans started getting on Charlotte a little bit with what chance as she was talking. She remembers the Thanksgivings, Christmases, and birthdays. She remembers mom saying that daddy's always with you, but he wasn't there because she had to watch him on television. She says she couldn't understand why you weren't there, but now she gets it because she's the women's champion. She's never been more powerful or confident. You knew what it felt like to be the man because she is the woman. That's why she finally has the courage to say, get out of my ring. Charlotte says that she expected him to stare at her at her dumbfounded. The people of your generation are all the same. They don't want to leave the spotlight. She says she let Ric bask in her spotlight. She's not Ric Flair's daughter. He is Charlotte's dad. Charlotte says her spotlight is bigger than her father. She says that Ric is the second dirtiest player in the game, and she does not have time for those who finish in second place. Charlotte says she does not need him anymore. Charlotte says Ric abandoned her. How do you think she felt the last 30 years of her life? She tells Ric that all these people, you are immortal, but to her, he's dead.
Cold.
And then Charlotte tells Ric that he can watch her on television like she did for him and told him to get out of her ring.
Okay, so this was fantastic. Number one. Number two, you know it was fantastic if you're sitting there feeling bad for Ric Flair.
Because he was tearing up.
He was crying. Screw tearing up. He was crying. He was bawling. He was beside himself. Charlotte handled herself like a champ. She worked the crowd like a champ. The only difficulty was when Ric started crying, Charlotte almost lost it. Like, she just kind of had to pull it in.
Mm-hmm.
But this was great. I think this has been a long overdue moment for Charlotte. Simply because Ric was perfect for her when she first came up. She needed that expert hand. She kind of needed someone to guide her a little bit to get her into that confident position that she's in now. And now that she's there, she's kicking Ric to the curb. And this is really the perfect way that you should do it, is where Charlotte gets almost overconfident in herself and in her abilities. And it's, oh, well, I don't need you anymore. You can go. You're dismissed to her own father, and she has Dana Brooke replacing him, which is a great pairing.
Yeah, I think it's going to do wonders for both women.
Although Emma had the best response ever on Twitter. She's like, excuse me, I think I'm the one that made Dana Brooke. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's true. It's damn true.
It's damn true. So this was perfect.
And officially, I can say that this is the first...
Hashtag blame Lindsay.
What the hell?
What?
Oh, God.
What? You don't like that one?
I don't like that voice.
All right.
Find something more southern.
Hashtag blame Lindsay.
Oh, God.
Try one more.
Hashtag blame Lindsay.
No!
That's all the female voices. I can go British. Want to go British?
No.
Why? You don't want to go British?
I don't want to go British.
Oh, but we can go Queen Elizabeth.
No.
Hashtag blame Lindsay.
That's awful. It's seriously awful.
All right, one more.
Hashtag blame Lindsay.
Yeah.
We'll find one that works. Anyway, moving on in the show. Qualifying match for Money in the Bank, Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler. It was Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler, so they had a good match, which saw dirty deeds to Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose advances. We then had the goodbye for Ric Flair as he walked past everyone, including Arn Anderson. He didn't want to talk to Renee.
Well, Well, you know, he just got kicked out. You know, he shouldn't want to talk to Renee.
No, he really shouldn't want to talk to Renee at all. We then had Primo and Epico do a video because, you know, they debuted, now they're back doing videos. They welcome everyone to Puerto Rico. AJ Styles comes to the ring before the main event. He says he has something to say before his match. He says, in our business, you know how good someone is until... You never know how good someone is until you get in the ring with them. In the last 6 weeks, Roman Reigns is every bit the man he says he is. AJ says that Roman is one of the better men he's ever been in the ring with. The crowd was booing. He says Roman is, however, is not phenomenal. If it wasn't for the Usos, Gallows, and Anderson, he had Roman beat last night. If it wasn't for those guys, you would be looking at the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That did not happen. AJ says he does not live in the past. He has a chance tonight to face Kevin Owens to beat him and move on his own to Money in the Bank. Cue Gallows and Anderson, who come to the ring. They go, if it wasn't for us, you make it sound like you didn't want us to be out there fighting with you. AJ says he wanted to do this from his own. This isn't Japan. Things have changed. Carl Anderson says, you would have bought a round. If this was Japan, you would have bought him a round of drinks. He says that AJ Styles has changed. AJ says he does not want to bring, did not bring them to WWE to watch his back and take care of his problems. Luke says if they didn't drop everyone who had a problem with AJ, then he would never have made it out of a lot of bar fights. If they didn't make the save for AJ in WWE, he would have never made it to Extreme Rules. AJ says they need to separate. You do your stuff alone, and he does his stuff alone. Right now, they are done. No one can separate them, however, from being brothers. Luke says to AJ, how dare you talk to them like that and then call them brothers? Anderson says, we're no longer brothers, and we're no longer friends. AJ says, if that's the way it is, then they don't need to be in the ring together. As of now, this is his ring.
So sad the club is broken up. Unless it's a red herring, which I don't think it is.
So this would be the second...
Hashtag Lamely.
I thought that would have actually been a little bit better, since it was French-Canadian.
Do I look French or Canadian to you?
No. Here's one more. This is Australian.
Hashtag Blame Lindsay.
That's the first halfway decent one we've had.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Then we had Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. But before we get to that, Miz will face Cesaro for the IC title on SmackDown, and Rusev versus Kalisto on SmackDown for the US title. So Kevin Owens and AJ Styles had a really good main event match, which saw Kevin Owens pin AJ Styles clean in the middle of the ring with the pop-up powerbomb for the 1-2-3 to head to Money in the Bank. Little surprised it was clean,
a little relieved it was clean.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because it's like, I think after last night, we just needed a really clean finish. Plus, it's like you don't have any loose ends between Owens and the club and AJ. You send Owens to Money in the Bank, and then you isolate AJ and the club and just have them do their thing and have the Money in the Bank people do their thing. So it's a very neat and tidy way to do it, which I can appreciate. I think a lot of people were expecting interference of some degree. So it's like the fact that we didn't get it was nice.
We had theories and then they broke up the club. So we had the theory going on for a little bit and then, oh wait, they broke up the club. Well, never mind. That theory was not happening. Maybe one day though.
Maybe one day.
But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday night, we are back live at 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of The Rack.
That's right. Tune in because we have Blame Rocks, Blame Lindsay's, and I think we even have a Blame Brent.
Yes, we do.
So, and we will be also talking NXT, Extreme Rules, and so much more. It's Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, The Rack, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube.com, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, all search Rack Radio Show. We're taking over the world, Rack Radio Show, RackRadioShow.com. You don't know who you hurt? You slacking, boy. I'll tell you Thursday.
Tune in, listen.
Be there live. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We're back after a week off. CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter.com, hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. It will be the WTR Fantasy Wrestling Draft, which includes Lindsay Ward.
I'm getting paid overtime for this, right?
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Anyway, WTR Sunday, Facebook and Twitter, WrestleTalkRadio.com to vote on the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Oh, right. You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRT, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out The Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, on wildtalkradio.com. Sorry! Sorry.
Finish the show. For that, you have to finish the show.
For that, I have to finish the show? Fine. For Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Raw Post Show right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.